How do you do? I'm Hal Sawyer. I'd like to point out three significant things about the show you are now to hear. First, it is completely authentic, except for the studio framework. The entire show was actually recorded on tape on board the Golden State Limited running westward to California. Secondly, for the first time, Train Time proposes to tap the limitless entertainment resources of the passengers of the railroads of America. Daily shows will be done aboard trains on the standard routes which cover America. And in addition, we'll depart from the main lines to get the rural touch aboard the colorful combination trains on the branch lines, the famous cog wheel railway up to Pike's Peak, suburban trains running to metropolitan areas, the many little-known branches carrying average Americans about their everyday business in out-of-the-way places. We'll run the rail line south to Mexico City and north to Canada and through Canada. And always, there will be the special trains to give us shows of up-to-the-minute headline timeliness. For example, a Shriner special en route to a convention, a special carrying the Notre Dame football team and Rooters to its big game, a special train headed for an important state fair, a Kentucky Derby special, a motion picture special en route to a location spot, or a train carrying our sponsor salesman to a divisional meeting in the Midwest. The railroads of America operate hundreds of special trains each year, and Train Time will be aboard to talk with these special passengers. Now, my third and last point is this, gentlemen. Train Time is a traveling show, which, with all its tremendous exploitation possibilities, will still budget for less than any similar type show of studio origination. Thank you. Now, here is our show.
Your clock is right. Of course, it's Train Time. Yes, Train Time. Time to get aboard for fun, for excitement, for prizes. Your radio is your ticket. Our sponsor is your host. And All America is your timetable on our deluxe Southern Pacific Streamliner. Listen, here she comes. And there she goes, highballing on the green light to destination ahead. But you're not too late. You're just in time to meet the man who rides the rails of America to bring you the stories of the people on the move. So hang on, we're going aboard. Hello, hello, Hal Sawyer out there pounding along on the Sunset Route. Take us away.
Thank you, Dick Joy, back there in Hollywood. This is your man about trains, Hal Sawyer, today welcoming you all aboard train number 3, the streamlined Golden State Limited of the Southern Pacific Railroad, which runs between Chicago and Los Angeles. I'm standing in the vestibule just outside the club car. Say, you hear the click of the wheels in the background? Sounds romantic and adventurous, doesn't it? We're rolling now along across the California desert. Scenery out here is glorious, and we have a swell gang of travelers aboard with exciting stories to tell. We have a swell prize to give away to some lucky listener in our honor city. But first, let's get posted right up to the minute on every detail of our trip. And the man who can do just that is standing right beside me. It's conductor Frank Smith. Hello, Mr. Smith. How are you?
How do you do, sir?
I say, Mr. Smith, tell me, how long have you been a conductor?
27 years.
27 years. That's a long time to be riding trains. How long have you been on this run?
About 8 years.
8 years. I guess by this time you know every telephone pole and the ties on the tracks by their first names, don't you?
Almost.
Where is your hometown, Mr. Smith?
Tahunga, California.
And your family live there?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any children?
No children.
No children. How fast would you say our streamlined train is going today?
Well,
right now, as a matter
approximately
of fact.
70 miles an hour.
70 miles an hour. That's about standard speed for a streamliner of this sort, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Now, looking out of the window, Mr. Smith, and on our vestibule here, this desert looks awfully hot. How hot do you think it is out there? What is the temperature, would you say?
They range around 112.
112 outside.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's delightfully cool aboard the train. What is the temperature reading on the car here?
Approximately 75.
So you see, when you want to ride across the desert in comfort and style, the streamlined train is the way to do it. Well, thank you, Mr. Smith. It's a real pleasure to talk with you. And now, while I move forward to talk to our fellow passengers within the car, Dick Joy, back there in Hollywood, has a few fine words for the occasion.
Thanks, Hal. And here's the spot on our show where Mr. Sponsor gets the green light for his first commercial. There are all sorts of integrated approaches that can be made here, but of course that can be established when we hit the air. Right now, let's get back to our streamliner highballing across America and our man about trains, Hal Sawyer.
Right, Dick. I'll bet you wish you were here in my place, in the quiet and comfortable club car of the Golden State Limited, and sitting next to a very lovely young lady with very lovely red hair. She was in the middle of an exciting gin rummy game with her friends, but I managed to get her away for a little train time talk.
What is your name?
Donna Pigores.
Donna Pigores. Where are you from, Donna?
Hopkins, Minnesota.
Hopkins, Minnesota. Where is that in Minnesota?
Well, it's a suburb of Minneapolis.
Where are you going, Donna?
I'm going to Santa Barbara, California.
Santa Barbara is a wonderful town. What are you going to do up there?
Well, I have a scholarship there with Richard Benelli at the Music Academy of the West.
Wait a minute. Say that again. A scholarship with Richard Benelli at the Music what?
Academy of the West.
You're going to be a singer?
I'm going to try.
Well, wonderful. Say, before I go into a story on you, I have a very interesting little gimmick that passengers on our Southern Pacific train today might find very entertaining, and those at home, too, because it's something unusual. Look out of the window on your right side. What do you see out there?
Oh, mountains and deserts and
sand. All
right,
now look behind you on the window on your left side. What do you see?
Well, it looks like an ocean or something.
It's not a mirage. You know, on this route, there are many things to see. And as a matter of fact, what you're looking at now is the Salton Sea. It's a body of salt water, completely landlocked, and it's about 200 feet below sea level. Well, how long have you been studying voice?
I've been studying for 6 years now with Cordella Eastwald at the McPhail College of Music in Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis. That's not a plug, is it?
No, but I think she deserves most of the credit.
What are you, a soprano, or are you...
I'm working to be a dramatic soprano.
A dramatic soprano. Mm-hmm. Which of the dramatic sopranos is your ideal, Donna?
Oh, Flagstad.
Kirsten Flagstad.
I bet.
She has a beautiful voice. How do you like Vaughn Monroe? Now, there's a boy with a fine voice. Huh?
I better not
Well, all right, let's go on to something else. You say you're going to Santa Barbara on a scholarship. Tell me about the scholarship, this music scholarship of yours.
Well, in March of this year, I was a finalist at the National Federation of Music Clubs Young Artist Auditions in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, how wonderful. And, I remember reading about that.
And Richard Benelli was one of the voice judges there.
Yes.
And so it was through his hearing me and through his personal recommendation that I got the scholarship.
And how long will you be at the school in Santa Barbara
on the scholarship?
8 weeks. And then what happens? Where do you go from there?
Well, then I go back again to Minneapolis, and I have a few concerts lined up.
Say, you know, we haven't said anything about a husband. You told me, showed me that ring, but is he with you?
No, he's not with me. Somebody's got to stay home and make the money.
He's in Hopkins. What does he do? Does he work?
He's a plumber.
A plumber. Uh-huh. He fixes broken pipes and rescues people from flooded cellars.
All those things.
Hey, tell me, Donna, he won't hear this, but tell me the truth. Is he a good plumber?
He's an excellent plumber.
Uh-huh. You know, that house of yours must really have some sound when he practices his plumbing
and
you
practice
an aria.
High C. Ah, yes.
Can you hit high C? Huh? Let me hear a little. Give me a little trill there.
No,
we have the conductor.
Right,
the train conductor's right behind you.
No,
we'll have conductor. She should do a little trill for us, shouldn't she?
No,
she's
talking
sure.
About.
You're not going to sing?
No.
All right.
Say, I
think
talk
you're
big.
A sissy.
Oh,
wonderful. It's so nice to talk with you. Now, I have a little question for you. And if you answer it correctly, or near correctly, you have something in store. It's a guess question. And all you have to do is tell me how long it takes the average porter to make up a Pullman berth.
Oh, dear.
You make beds at home.
Well,
you know how long it takes you. Well, how long will it take the porter?
Well, it'll take the porter about 2 minutes and 25 seconds.
You say 2 minutes and 25 seconds for the Pullman porter to make the berth.
That's my guess.
That's your guess. Well, all right, we'll put that down. Donna, we're going to look forward to seeing your names and your names. Catch this. You do have two names. Donna is one and Pegoris is another, so I qualify myself. But actually, we're going to look forward to seeing your name in newspapers and in magazines and up in lights.
Well, I hope I live up to that.
You're interested in singing. When you have interest and ambition, you're bound to make good.
That's what they say. I hope it comes
through. Thank you, Donna, for being with us. And in exchange for all of your fine talk with us today, we have a 17-jewel Elgin watch we're going to give you.
Are you kidding?
Look like that. It's all for you.
Marvelous.
Have a good time in Santa Barbara. And don't forget to write to your husband back home and tell him that you're being a good girl, too. Goodbye and thank you.
Thank you very much.
You know, while having lunch today in the dining car aboard our train, I sat opposite a very charming lady with snow-white hair and a wonderful smile on her face. We had a grand conversation while we were lunching, and I thought it would be nice to bring her along to our train time microphone now for you folks at home to meet her. Won't you tell us your name now that I have you here?
Effie M. Such.
Effie M. Such. What is the M for, Miss Such?
I never tell that.
I know. I've been trying to find out what the M is for ever since we ate together. Where are you from, Miss Effie M and won't tell such?
From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Are you going to stay in Los Angeles or are you
just
going on
for 6 weeks.
Oh, you're going to stay in L.A.?
Yes.
What are you going to do there?
I'm visiting my nieces and my brother.
Uh-huh. What do you do at home in Pittsburgh, Miss Such?
I teach school.
You teach school. How long have you been teaching?
Well, from the time I started.
Yeah, but that still doesn't tell how long in my arithmetic, you know.
Well, I know, but I teach science, not arithmetic.
Well, no, Effie, come on. Tell me, how long have you been teaching school?
I'll tell you how long, much longer I can teach, but I could never count from the beginning to tell you.
Well, how much longer can you teach?
1 year.
You mean you're going to retire?
Yes.
Now, when people go to Hollywood, they like to see all of the glamour spots. Are you going to go to Ciro's and Mocumbo and dance to the rumba bands and out late?
I would much rather go to the mountains and the seashore.
Oh, you want... It's right. You're pretty far from the ocean in Pittsburgh, aren't you?
We're very far.
You say you've been to California before. How many trips have you made?
This will be my eighth trip.
Eighth trip. And have you traveled by train all the time?
All the time, but every way from the south clear through the Canadian Rockies.
And, well, have you seen any other parts of California beside the Los Angeles and Southern California area?
Yes, I went to visit one nephew in the mountains up near Sequoia National Park, right next to Sequoia National
Beautiful
Park.
Beautiful country, Effie.
And that is where the big trees grow.
Yes. What happened? Anything unusual?
The most unusual thing I ever saw, the most interesting thing, and yet very sad, it was the felling of one of the great trees there. It was a wonderful thing to see, and yet it was very sad to think of a tree or any living thing that had lived for at least 3,000 years and to be felled just for a few posts.
Well, you know, that's a very sweet thought, Effie. And you know something, I think that you have do you have a house in Pittsburgh?
I do.
Effie, would you have room for a tree in your yard?
I love trees. I'd always have room for that.
We'll make up for the giant redwood that you saw crash in Sequoia National Park, and we'll arrange with the Forest Service to send you a very, very young redwood tree, and you can plant it in your own backyard and watch it grow.
Well, I'm sure I would appreciate it above all things.
And it'll be known as the Effie M, and that's all, Such Memorial Tree. Well, Effie, I have a question for you. We call it the roundhouse question of the day. We want to know how long you think it takes the average Pullman porter to make a berth. How long?
About 5 minutes, I should say.
5 minutes. Well, we'll put Effie M. Such of Pittsburgh down for 5 minutes on the roundhouse. And, you know, I'd like to have you start us off in selecting the name and the address of the lucky person in our honor city. You just think of any number from 1 to 345. Pick a number, Effie.
Well, I'll say 13. That's
13, all right. Effie picks 13. We'll put that number 13 right here on the blackboard. And later on, we'll turn to that page in the city directory of our honest city for today, which is New Haven, Connecticut. Thank you so very much. Here by a window on our car is a couple who've been holding hands and behaving like a couple of school kids. Let's go over and see who they are. How are you? My name is Hal Sawyer. What
is yours? How do you do? My name is Leo Lennox.
Well, Leo, this is your wife with you, I gather.
That's right.
Uh-huh, Mrs. Lennox. And where are you from?
I'm from Chicago.
Well, that's a grand town. A little windy sometimes, I hear. Are you traveling on business, Leo?
No, well, we're traveling on a belated honeymoon.
On a honeymoon? Oh, that's wonderful. Where are you going?
We're going to see our daughter in Hollywood.
Oh, wait a minute, Leo. How do you qualify that? How long have you been married?
We've only been married for 25 years.
Well, that's what I thought all the time. What do you do at home in Chicago, Leo? What's
I'm
your
a
business?
Tailor.
A tailor?
That's
a
right.
Men's tailor?
Men's clothing industry.
Say, you know, I've been wanting to meet somebody like you for a long time. What ever happened to the knickers that came with suits that also came along with two pairs of pants? Do you still make suits with one pair of long pants and one pair
that's
of knickers?
Right.
Who buys suits with knickers these
days? We
throw
them away.
You know, those knickers were great. You remember when they used to fasten around the bottom of the knee, and you'd always wear those during the week so you could save the long pants for Sunday or Saturday night when you had a date?
That's right, but we throw them away nowadays, and the ragman comes along, he picks them up, you know, and what happens a few evenings later, this ragman, he sells them to these second-hand clothers, and they send them to these softball players. That's who wears them today.
That's probably why suits are so expensive.
That's
now,
right.
Say, speaking of cost of suits, Leo, how much do your suits cost? How much do you sell them for?
Oh, they're very rational. Not too much, you know.
Well, what do you mean by not too much?
We charge from $65 to $150.
You know, in L.A., where you're going to run into some very interesting merchandising things with men's suits. They not only sell you a suit, but they give you a shirt and a tie, free parking, 5 gallons of gasoline, and then send you back home with more stuff than you need, all for the same price.
Well, won't they throw an automobile in it?
Well, not quite, but if things go on the way they are, maybe one day they'll be doing it, at least the back wheel. You know, I want to ask the lady something. I gather, because you're doing the talking on the vacation, and that at home, Violet does the talking, and you don't say a word.
Well, you're
is that
right.
True?
I never say anything at home.
Violet,
don't
is that so?
Don't tell everything now.
Huh? How do you run your house? Are you the boss, or is Leo the boss?
Well, he brings the money, and I'll take care of it. I'll spend it.
Do you go to the bank with the money he brings home?
Sometimes, if I have any left.
Say, tell me, what are his favorite dishes? What do you like to fix for him?
Well, he's pretty easy to cook for. He eats a lot of vegetables. He's sort of a vegetarian.
Does he call you from the store and say, Violet, I want to have corn on the cob for dinner tonight?
No, he never does. I usually fix the menu, and he's satisfied.
He never comes home and says, Violet, not that again.
Oh, no.
That's a wonderful man. Say, you know, we told you about our honor city, and the lucky listener we picked from the city directory of that town. Well, we already have the page number, and now we want to get to the column. So, Mr. and Mrs. Lennox, we're going to go to column one in honor of your one daughter. And now, how about taking a crack at our roundhouse question of the day? Now, there's two of you, so you'll just have to put your two heads together and come up with one answer between you. Is that fair enough? Huh?
Fine.
All right. Here's the question. How long does it take the average Pullman porter to make up a berth?
Oh, about 55 seconds.
All right, there we have 55 seconds for Mr. and Mrs. Lennox, and for being so very nice to us on the show today, we'd like to give you something very special, particularly good when you go back to those cold Chicago winters. It's a pair of Eshmann Silver Fox wool blankets. They're the best in blankets. And when that winter time comes in the Windy City, we know you'll appreciate them.
Well, they're really
Thank
both
you.
Handy.
Thank you very much, Violet, and you too, Leo, and good luck with the
Thank
suits back home.
Nice.
You know, I talked to a young lady before the broadcast of today's Train Time show, and believe it or not, her name is Goldie Gold. She's on her way from Phoenix, Arizona to Anchorage, Alaska. And talk about going from hot to cold. That certainly is Miss Goldie Gold. Goldie, you don't mind a little fun with you, do you?
No, it's all a fun. It's all right.
Goldie, where did you come aboard the train today?
Phoenix, Arizona.
In Phoenix. And where are you going?
To Alaska.
To Alaska.
Alaska.
What a wonderful place to go. Have you been looking forward to a trip like this, or have you been up there before?
No, I've never been up there before. I took one boat trip a number of years ago, and I dreamed of this one and dreamed of another, but I dreamed of Alaska. I wandered for a long time, but it just materialized.
Oh, you plan your vacations according to your dreams.
Apparently.
You're going to board your ship in Seattle, are you?
That's right.
Well, that should be beautiful. You go along the Inland Passage, and it's a delightful
yes.
thing to see. How are you getting to Seattle, Goldie?
By train.
By rail.
That's right.
Will you spend any time in Los Angeles before you go north?
Till tomorrow evening. I'm spending with an aunt and cousin.
Now, is this a vacation trip for
That's
you, Goldie?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you vacationing from?
Vacationing from my office work.
What do you do?
I work for the County Health Unit in collaboration with the state of Arizona.
The county
health unit.
Just what is that? What sort
well,
of office is
Well, in general,
that?
The health department.
The health department of the state.
That's right.
Oh, I see. You supervise all the health in Arizona.
No, I don't. Our division supervises the county in collaboration with the state health.
Oh, I see. And which county is it, Goldie?
Maricopa
County.
Yes.
That's the county in which Phoenix
That's
is located.
That's right.
Is this your first long train trip, really, Goldie?
No, it isn't. I've made many before, and then I've made some in the Army.
Oh, you were in the Army?
Yes, I was.
Were you a WAC then?
Yes, I was a WAC for the Air Force.
Were you an officer?
No, I was a non-com.
Non-com. I went in
as a buck private, and I came out as a sergeant.
Well, you did pretty well. How'd you get a first name like Goldie? Is it a nickname or is it a real name?
No, it's a real name.
Well, what made your mother decide to call you Goldie?
Well, I was named for a great aunt of mine who I've never known.
Yeah?
Her name was Golda.
Yes.
My birth certificate happened to work out officially Goldie.
Uh-huh.
There are 10 of us in the family by the same name.
the first name, Goldie.
That's right.
You have many cousins Goldie, then. You
yes.
You have a cousin Goldie in one place and a cousin okay. Goldie in another
That's
place. And
right.
you get to know them by the name of the town in which they live instead of their name, huh?
It's easier. Yeah.
My cousin Milwaukee, for example.
That's right.
Well, Goldie, with a first name and a last name being so similar, you sort of are somewhat informal about names. And if someone calls
yes.
you Miss Goldie, you answer, or Goldie, you answer,
That's
or
right.
Gold, you answer.
I don't feel bad either way.
Do you have a boyfriend, Goldie?
Not right now.
No, you're kind of planning to pick up one who'll be steady and regular?
No, not at the moment.
How about romance on the trip? You know, women always seem to associate an ocean voyage with romance. You know, the moon shining down on the placid sea and a handsome young man standing at the rail with you. You sort of picturing that in that dream you had?
No, not necessarily, but as a whole, ocean voyages are romantic.
What are you going to do when you get up to Alaska, since you're not going to hunt for gold?
Well, we stop on the tour nearly every day. The ship actually stops for the loading and unloading cargo, and we have a supervised tour on that through that city throughout the day.
Oh,
and we both at the hotel.
Which line are you sailing north on?
On the Alaska line.
That's a United States line, isn't it? Flies the American flag.
Yes, surely.
And you're coming home the same way?
Yes, I'm coming. It's a round trip.
You're coming back to Los Angeles and then back to Phoenix by train again.
Yes.
Goldie, we have a question we'd like to put to you now. We've asked this of all of our train time travelers today. How long do you think it takes the average Pullman porter to make up a Pullman berth?
About 7 minutes.
About 7 minutes. All right, we have that down on the blackboard, Goldie. And something else for you. While you're up in Alaska, you'll want to write letters to all of those cousins. You know, Cousin Milwaukee and Cousin Chicago. Well, we're going to give you a gold Parker 51 pen and pencil set, monogrammed in gold with GG, which stands for Goldie Gold.
Thank you very, very much.
Well,
I certainly need it.
Thank you so much for being
with us.
And a happy trip and good time in Alaska. Well, here's a man with a bandage on his hand. Let's go over and see what his name is and what happened to him. What is your name, sir?
Gordon Barnes.
Gordon Barnes. Mr. Barnes, what did you do to your hand? How come you have a bandage around it?
Well, I had a little accident last night on the train. A box of matches went out in my hand.
Oh, I know what happened. You didn't close the top. What do you do? What is your work?
I'm a traveling salesman.
Traveling salesman, huh?
Yes, sir.
And what is your route? Where do you work? From where to where?
Oh, I just about cover the entire country. I work actually out of San Francisco.
Out of San Francisco, mm-hmm. California. How far east do you work?
Oh, get into New York once
in a while. New York. Mm-hmm. Where did you board the Golden State Limited?
Chicago.
In Chicago, uh-huh. And you're going on through to Los Angeles?
Right into Los Angeles and Hollywood.
Say, tell me, Mr. Barnes, you're a traveling salesman. You work out of San Francisco. You boarded the train in Chicago, but you haven't told me what you sell.
Ladies' apparel.
Oh, you mean dresses and hats and that sort of thing?
Light stuff, you know, real frilly. In fact, they're getting lighter and lighter all the time.
Yes, well, let's... I suppose I switch this thing for just a moment and ask you how business is, perhaps. We get out of that one fast.
Well, business is pretty good.
It is good.
But finding it is kind of tough.
Well, how do you mean? How do you find your business?
I hustle for it.
Uh-huh. Well, it's the hustler who gets ahead, you know.
Who wants ahead?
Well, you're going to go direct from this train to the San Francisco train at L.A.? You're going to stop off?
No, no, I'm going to stop in Hollywood and Los Angeles for, maybe about 10 days.
On business, of course.
That's right. Then from there, I'm going to take the Southern Pacific Lark up to San Francisco.
The night train. Well, tell me, what are you going to do in Hollywood?
Well, I'm going to play.
You're going to play? You're not going to work. This is a vacation for you.
This won't be broadcast, so my boss will hear, will he?
Well, you never can tell where your boss might be. getting back to your personal life, Mr. Gordon Barnes from Chicago and San Francisco. You're not married, you say?
Oh, no, no.
You're not married?
No.
Do you have any plans to get married?
Oh, no, the freelance field. Love it.
Freelance field. You mean you haven't a regular girlfriend?
Oh, no.
Do you have any girlfriends?
Well, up and down the entire Southern Pacific route, I believe.
What are you, sort of a whistle-stop Romeo?
Just whistle.
Just whistle. Do they come every time you whistle? Huh?
Well... Gosh, I'm kind of bragging now, but, sometimes they do.
Sometimes you're lucky. Have you ever had any tough luck, any real tough luck when you whistle? Have nothing happen?
Yeah, I lost a tooth once.
You lost a tooth. that's better than just stopping a taxi cab. And so, do you plan to marry eventually, settle down?
Eventually,
a home, perhaps a business of your own?
That's right.
Would you like to go into the grocery business?
That's fine. What happened there?
Well, that was a train going by. That's one of the Southern Pacific eastbound trains, Mr. Barnes. I think that is the Sunset Limited eastbound. That goes
to Texas,
New Orleans.
Oh,
yeah,
you've been on that?
That's a good train, too. We were on it yesterday. We talked to some fine people then. Yeah, really interesting people. But, you know, it's sure nice to talk with you. I have a question. You've had all sorts of answers. Let me hear you give me an answer to this one. This is what we call the roundhouse question of the day.
All right.
It should be a natural for you. How long does it take the average porter to make up a Pullman berth?
Oh, brother. Let's see.
You
mean the average?
The average Pullman porter on the average Pullman berth on the average Pullman car.
Last night it took a half hour.
Is that...
A couple of nights ago. Listen, you're trying to get...
You're going to figure this out mathematically.
That's right.
You say 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'll stop there. I'm out of fingers.
All right, we'll put that down on the blackboard for you. Say, one question. You know, travelers always have a name for their car porter. What do you call your porter?
The one last night, I can't tell you on the air. Usually,
George. Actually, the thing I wanted to find out was whether or not you called him George.
Always George.
Well, before I talked with you, I made a little survey on this train. I found that there were 10 Pullman cars on this fine train of ours today, and there isn't one porter named George.
You holler George now, and I'll bet they'll all come around.
Well, maybe it's habit. Gordon, thanks so much for being with us. And as a special gift for you, to have fun in Hollywood, to keep your money safe and sound while you're in that glamorous city, we have an ostrich wallet by Hickok for you.
Oh, gee, that's very nice.
And
thank you very much, Hal.
Well, thank
it's been
you
a
for
pleasure
being
to
with
be
us.
On the show.
Gosh, it's hard to believe how fast time moves along on a train trip. You know, it seems like we just started the session of Train Time, and already our schedule calls for the payoff to the roundhouse question of the day. Well, all our fellow passengers are gathered around to cheer the victor, so now let's see who it is. We ask each of our train time travelers this question. How long does it take the average Pullman porter to make up a Pullman berth? The correct answer is 7.5 minutes, and the train time passenger who guessed it closest was Miss Goldie Gold from Phoenix, Arizona, who is now going up to Alaska. Congratulations, Goldie. Goldie, how did you figure it out that way? Tell us, how did you know it took only 7.5 minutes? To make up a Pullman berth.
I didn't know exactly. It takes me about 10 minutes at home.
Yes.
Therefore, I figure since the Pullman porter is more experienced, he does his specialty, it'd probably be about 7 minutes.
Well, Goldie, thank you. And, you know, regardless of the method you used, you've really come through with a winner today. And our sponsor is happy to give you the wonderful Chief Ensemble of luggage, the luxurious Pullman case, and the convenient overnighter, and the fortnighter, too, all by Oshkosh. Nothing finer around the world. Can you use it, Goldie?
Can I use it? I'll throw my old luggage right out the window.
Wonderful. Well, now, Goldie, before you go, how about helping us select a lucky listener in our honor city for today, New Haven, Connecticut? We visited there many times. Have you ever been there? You ever been to New Haven, Connecticut, Goldie?
No, I haven't.
Never have?
No.
It's a very famous town. You know, that's where Yale University is. They also make electric alarm clocks and wind-up alarm clocks. You know the famous New Haven clock? It has all sorts of fine industries and fine people. It's a great town. We have with us here on the train today a directory of New Haven, Connecticut, which lists all the residents. Now, our train time traveler, Miss Such, gave us the number 13. So we turn to page 13 in the directory. There are four columns of names on the page, you see. Four columns of names and addresses on each page. So then, train time travelers, Mr. and Mrs. Lennox, told us they had one child. That led us to the first column on page 13. There are 40 names listed in that column, and we need one last number to bring us to our lucky listener. So you, Miss Gold, inasmuch as you won our Roundhouse Award, how about you telling us any number you wish, any number between 1 and 40? Pick a number, Goldie. Any number between 1 and 40.
23.
Number 23. Well, Goldie, thank you for helping us. We're ready now to find the lucky listener. And while we're checking the numbers for the final time, let's have Dick Joy, way back in Hollywood, give us a message for our sponsor.
Gosh, Hal, I'd like to be out there with you on that wonderful streamliner. But, of course, my job is right here in Hollywood, seeing that our sponsor gets his full share of commercial. And this is the spot where we'll do another one, but, of course, that's for the future. So let's get back to our man about trains, Hal Sawyer, and find out who's the lucky listener in today's Honor City.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are back on the Golden State Limited, our streamline train, and we've just chosen the lucky listener in our honor city for today, New Haven, Connecticut. The three numbers we got from our train time travelers have picked our lucky listener in New Haven, Connecticut, to be Miss Gwendolyn Packer of 2938 Maywood Avenue. Miss Gwendolyn Packer, 2938 Maywood Avenue. Congratulations, Miss Packer. And now listen closely, for here's what you've won. Our sponsor is arranging a wonderful weekend in New York City for you and a guest. You'll ride there on the fine New York, New Haven, and Hartford Railroad. You'll spend 3 days in the famous Waldorf Astoria Hotel. And you'll climax the holiday by going to see that smash hit show, Tales of the South Pacific, as our guests. So congratulations again to you in New Haven, Connecticut, Miss Gwendolyn Packer. Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. The timetable says we're pulling into the stopping-off place for you train time travelers. But no matter how fast you ride, you can't beat that old clock. It's been a real pleasure having you all aboard our Golden State Limited today, and we're already looking forward to picking you up tomorrow when we pound the rails towards a new destination with more passengers to talk to, with another roundhouse question, and a lucky listener in another honor city. Our sponsor has made your reservations for the trip, so why not plan to be aboard to see America and to hear America? So until tomorrow, then, when you'll hear that call, train time, this is your radio man about trains, Hal Sawyer, saying goodbye from the Southern Pacific Streamlined Golden State Limited, now 40 hours out of Chicago and points west and bound for Los Angeles, California. See you tomorrow. Goodbye.
So long, Hal, and good traveling. But hold those accommodations open for a nation full of train time travelers tomorrow at the same time. We'll be riding with you wherever you're heading, so keep rolling. And for all you listeners, this is Dick Joy back in Hollywood inviting you to get aboard to see America and hear America tomorrow at train time.